So let us turn then in God's Word to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, I draw your attention to this morning. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. In these verses here, we have heavenly mindedness. Or, if you like, above is better. And so this morning, as we begin to enter again into Colossians and into this third chapter, I want to do so by highlighting two expressions. The first expression is things above. And that expression occurs twice. In verse 1, seek those things which are above. And then verse 2, set your affection on things above. And then the other expression is things on the earth. And that only occurs once at the end of verse 2. Not on things on the earth. So there is a contrast. Things above, things on the earth. Paul is implying above is best. Not only better, but best. By above, Paul does not just mean higher things. As if to say, set your affection on higher things and not on lower things. No, that's not what he's saying. The thought is the highest. Set your affections on heaven, on things in the highest. So he's contrasting the things in heaven, not just high things, but he's contrasting the things in heaven with things on earth. And the thought is, the highest heaven is best. He has in mind then two places. Heaven and earth. Two real places. Two literal places. One of them, heaven, is not a fairy tale. It's not make-believe. It's a real place. And you know, congregation, this is the biblical way of thinking about heaven. This is how Christians ought to think about the heaven of heavens. As above. It's very important. You see, our Western minds tend to think about heaven as something hereafter. Something in the future. Earth is the now, we think. And heaven is the hereafter. It's later. That's how our minds think. And theologians sometimes say the now and the not yet. The hereafter. And that's biblical too. And that way of thinking has a place in our Christian thinking and teaching. But I think Paul's way of thinking is far more prominent in the Bible. Heaven is not just hereafter. It is prominently above. Heaven is not just the hereafter. That's what I'm saying this morning. Heaven is not just the future. Heaven is the now. It's the now. It's the present. Only it is above. It's above. That's all. Still now. Still present. And the Lord Jesus thought like this. The Lord Jesus didn't think so much about heaven as something hereafter. He thought of it as above and now. Do you remember whenever he prayed that great prayer in John chapter 17? Do you remember how the Bible says, as he spake that prayer, it says, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Above. He didn't bow his head. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. He prayed to his Father in heaven. the now, the presence of heaven, the reality of heaven. He set his affection on things above. And that's how the Lord Jesus thought. And you know, we should think like the Lord Jesus, shouldn't we? Because he thought right, he thought infallibly. And if he thought of heaven as above, we should think that. We should get this into our mindset. Not this focus and emphasis on heaven as something future and hereafter, but something now, something present, though high and above. And the Lord Jesus is always bringing this out. What did he say? He says, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. I've come down. Heaven's real. Heaven's now. Heaven's present. And I've come down from heaven. I came down from heaven, he said, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I am the living bread which came down. I came down from heaven. You see how the Lord Jesus is always saying this? This is how he thinks. This is how you should think. This is the first stage in heavenly mindedness. To grasp the reality of heaven as present, though high. It is interesting then that he also uses this word above. Paul says things above. And the Lord Jesus uses the very same word. He says, you are, speaking to the earthlings, speaking to sinners, he says, you are from beneath. But I am from above. So he uses the very same expression. This is how he thinks. And by beneath, he means this earth, the world. Yous are earthlings. You are from beneath. You're from the footstool of heaven. But I am from above. The Lord of heaven. And that's how Christ views it. He views the inhabitants of the world as beneath, below. And he views heaven as above. And that Paul is speaking of heaven is made unmistakable because he says, set your affection on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So he's thinking very definitely of heaven because that's where Christ is. He ascended up into heaven and he sat down on the right hand of God. So Paul says, set your affection on things above where Christ sits, heaven. Christ, you know, has not entered into the holy places that have been made with hands, but he's entered into the reality, into heaven itself, a present reality, a real place, only above, high. What did James say? Every good and perfect gift is from above. See, James used the same language, didn't he? Paul uses the same language as the Lord Jesus, from above. Do we ever use that word? Do we have that mindset? Do we think biblically? Above. So I want you to look up this morning. I want you to raise your dejected head. Stop looking down below. Begin to obey the word of God. Begin to get the joy of the Lord in your heart by looking above, above. And so heaven is a reality, congregation, isn't it? If there is a below, there's an above. You see, unbelievers think that earth is the highest. This is all there is. There's nothing more. This is what we have to enjoy. This is where we have to set our mind. And unbelievers don't believe in the reality of heaven, but heaven is real. It's above. So saints not only ought to know that, but they ought to be consumed by that reality. They ought to live in the light of it. The heavenly Jerusalem ought to stick out like a city on a hill that can't be hid. And wherever the child of God walks, wherever he goes, wherever his footsteps lead him in the providence of God, he can always lift up his eyes onto the hills and see the heavenly Jerusalem. It should stick out. It should be a reality. It should be so visible to faith as present. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen, but a reality to faith. So look up, you can see it, the heavenly Jerusalem. Live in the light of it. This morning I want to set these two side by side. Things above, things below on the earth. I want to speak about heaven and earth. I want to show first of all the connection between the two. There's a connection between the two. And then I want to show the contrasts between the two. First of all, they are connected. You maybe haven't thought that before. But they are in a number of ways. There's a connection. And first of all, very important as you study the scriptures, you find that they are connected verbally. Connected by words. Connected in the text of scripture. Very often they are spoken of together. Whenever God speaks of heaven, he in the same breath speaks of earth. Heaven and earth. They're always linked together with this conjunction. Heaven and earth. There's a connection. And you can study that connection, heaven and earth. You just look at that phrase, or the equivalents for heaven and earth. Just look at that connection verbally that occurs in the text of scripture all the time. Because God is always thinking of heaven and earth. And we ought to be always thinking of heaven and earth. Not just earth. And not earth first, earth and heaven. But the biblical order, heaven and earth. They're connected. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. The Lord says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. There's a connection. If you go into a throne room and the king has his throne, his footstool won't be away down the street, away out the yard. The footstool is below the throne. And he puts his feet on it. There's a connection, you see. There's a proximity, there's a nearness. Yes, the throne's above and the footstool is below, but they're linked. They're linked, heaven and earth. Heaven is his footstool. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. God that made the world and all things that are therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. But not only are they connected verbally in the text of Holy Scripture, they're also connected by creation. Because both have been created. Heaven has been created by God. And earth has been created by God. He is the creator of both. What's the very first verse in the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the first verse in the Bible. Above and below, Moses tells us about the creation of it all. God made it all. And you know, there are people just living in this earth who don't think biblically, who don't think according to the Holy Spirit, and they just say, in the beginning God created the earth. As if that's all there is. No, he created the heaven, that's first, and the earth. So they're connected by creation. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth, we sometimes sing in the Psalms. And we've seen in Colossians here that by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things in the heaven and in the earth were created by him and for him. So they're linked by the Creator and by the fact of creation. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart. God said that many, many years ago to the people of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. He says, know this day and consider in thine heart. And this is what we're doing actually today. That the Lord, he is God in heaven above. Above. That's what God actually says. He's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm from above, you're from beneath, that's the verse he has in his mind. That's how he thinks. He thinks biblically. He thinks according to the word of God. And that's how you ought to think, child of God. And you'll not have success in the Christian life. You'll not have the joy of the Lord the way you ought unless you begin to think in this reality. That heaven is nigh but above. And you're just beneath. Below on the earth. So it's connected by creation. It's also connected by creatures. But not only were both created by God, both were created for creatures to abide in and inhabit and enjoy. God created heaven not just for himself. He didn't need a heaven for himself. He has perfect heaven in himself with his Son and with his Holy Spirit. He created the heaven of heavens for creatures. For his holy angels to be inhabited and to abide in and to live in and to enjoy. And by creatures, I mean angels and men. I mean rational creatures. I'm not talking about the irrational creatures, the animals. I'm talking about spirits and souls. Men were created to dwell and inhabit the earth. But angels were made to enjoy and inhabit heaven. And yet we know, and this is the thing that I'm emphasizing, yet we know that while heaven was made for angels, for them to enjoy on earth, for earthlings to enjoy, we know that each can come to the other. That angels can visit the earth, and men can go to heaven. So they're connected. They're not that different. It's not that heaven is on some sort of parallel universe that you'll never, you'll know nothing about. No, there's a connection so that angels can come to earth and men can enter into heaven. Take Enoch. Enoch walked with God. He was not. God took him. And the sense is he took him to himself. He took him to be in heaven with himself. Now, he maybe used angels to get him, to bring him. And we know that the Bible says he was translated, that he should not see death. And God translated him. So here was a man, he walked on earth, he married, he had children. He lived to 365 years of age, and he went to heaven. Just like that. To be with God. So there's a connection. Men can go to heaven. The Lord Jesus went to heaven. He ascended into heaven. So from one place to another place, both very different places, and yet not so different, because he who lived in one place now lives in the other place. Heaven was made for him to experience. Do you see what I'm saying? Heaven isn't just made for angels to experience. Heaven is made for man to experience too. Above. And then there's Elijah. He was caught up to the third heaven. And it works the other way as well. Because angels can travel to earth. They can leave heaven and come to earth. They can come below. The great and amazing connection of angels with earth is seen in Jacob's dream. Remember, he had a dream. He lay on a pillar. You know, that wasn't some wee tiny stone, you know. We picture him with his head on this. No, this was a massive rock. He lay on it. And he had a dream. And a ladder stretched down to that rock. And up and down the ladder were angels. Coming down from heaven and going back up again. And at the top of the ladder, above, things above, is the Lord. And the angels are coming down to earth. And God speaks to Jacob. He says, you know, I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. I'll give you the land, the nations. And the angels are coming down to assure him, I'll send my angels to make sure you get it all. Because they come to earth, you see. See that big pillar? Whenever he woke up next day, Jacob was a really strong man. He set that pillar up as a remembrance to the God of Bethel. What he will do. And the important thing is this connection between heaven and earth. And Jacob ever after is going to have to think about things above. He forgot for a while. He forgot for a long time. He didn't learn the lesson. He took off. He became earthly minded. But he got back again. Heavenly minded. Biblical thinking. You remember that the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appears, and all the angels of heaven are there. They're singing. They're not above anymore. They're below. They've come right down. I'm trying to set forth to you that the connection between heaven and earth is not something distant, something far off, something just future. In Revelation, we have been seeing how the devil and his demons inhabit the earth. Seeing and perceiving things on the earth. Working on the earth. Working belief. Working below. That same devil and those same demons one time were in heaven above. But now they're beneath. So yes, two very different places. But yet not so different as to prevent connections and movement from one place to the other. And they're both now. They're both present realities. Child of God, do you realize this? Heaven is a present reality. At the last day, the saints shall come from heaven with Christ to the earth to be united to their resurrected bodies. So it's not like they are parallel universes and utterly impossible to know or comprehend or even cross from one to the other. No, we can understand both places. We can comprehend both places. We can live in both places, not as presently constituted. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. There has to be a change. But nevertheless, that place we can enjoy. We can certainly think about it. We can certainly set our heart on it. Our affections, as Paul says in this epistle. So it's connected by creatures. It's connected by Christ. The Lord Jesus, he is the ladder himself who connects the two so that angels can go up and down and sinners can ascend into the hill of the Lord as well. It's because of the mediator, because of Christ. So he is the way to heaven. He is the channel between heaven and earth, the tunnel, the ladder, the connection, the link, the mediator. And there's none other. We have to tell the world that, don't we? The Muslim, he thinks about heaven in a certain way. And no doubt the Jew thinks about heaven in a certain way. And other religions do as well. But the connection between the two is only through Jesus Christ. He has made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile to himself all things, whether they be in earth or in heaven. He has done the great reconciliation of earth to heaven in his cross work. The lifting up of the Savior on the cross was the bringing of the two together so that sinners can pass from beneath to above. Our Lord Jesus Christ has opened heaven for us. He has made it a reality that we can set our affections there now. Of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. You see, the family of God is not complete on the earth. Part of it is in heaven. But it's one family. Some of them are in heaven, above. That's not future. That's where they are now. The reality now is they're in heaven above. We're beneath still. We haven't joined them yet. But they're still one big family. Some have gone above. And some are still left below. So this is a biblical way of thinking. You can't begin to understand this chapter until you think like this. The now, the above. And that brings out these verses 1 to 5 especially. But while these connections are true, it is also true that there are very great contrasts. The here below is contrasted with things above. And it's really the contrast that is highlighted in the text. While above and below may be connected and are connected, and that connection is very, very important, both are now, it is obvious that above and below are also very, very, very different. They're not the same. So I don't want you to think there's so much to be compared that they're nearly the same. No, the Bible never makes them the same. It's always heaven and earth. They're different. Above is better. That's why Paul says, set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above. That's the emphasis. Because below is all vanity. All is vanity, the Bible says. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Read the whole book of Ecclesiastes. Yes, he talks about the heaven and the sun shining on the earth, but it's a very beneath book. In fact, he's almost forgotten that there is the above, the heaven. And as he focuses on beneath, he says, all is vanity. Everybody walks with a vain show. But above, it's not like that. Eye have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. Heaven is not vanity, and no vainness there whatsoever. Above is better. Below, what do the saints of God have? What did Paul say about beneath? He says, we are troubled on every side. Every side. Everywhere we turn, every direction we take, we get troubles. That's beneath. That's the earth. But you see, above, there the wicked cease from troubling. They don't trouble the people of God anymore. There God's people find rest. Above is rest. What did Job say about the above? There the weary be at rest. Above is better, isn't it? Below we read that all his days are sorrows. Ecclesiastes again. This mind that's earthbound. All his days are sorrows. Every day is the same. And you get weary of life. But above, sorrow and sighing all flee away. Above, he wipes away every tear. It's all gone. Above is better. Very different. Here in the world, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say as he was leaving his disciples and ascending up above? What did he say? In the world, beneath, ye shall have tribulation. That's what is below. Troubles and tribulations and sorrows. But in heaven, these are they that have come out of tribulation. They've left it all behind. They're above and beyond it now. Though it's still going on earth for the rest of the family, those above have left it all behind. Above is better. They hunger no more. Neither do they sorrow anymore. Neither does the sun light on them anymore, nor any burning. Nothing at all like that. They don't pass through floods the way we did this morning coming to church. They don't pass through floods anymore. There's not even any more sea there. Nothing like that. There are the weary be at rest. This below is the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Tears, the Vale of Weeping. But above is Beulah, beautiful land, the land of marriage, the land of joy and gladness. The weeping that endures on the earth is gone, because above is the joy in the morning. Here below, it is appointed unto men once to die, as we have been reminded this week. But there above, neither can they die anymore. Nor is there any more death. Above is higher, above is better. Now below we see something, we see by faith, we see through a glass darkly, but above there we see face to face. Below we know, but only partially, but above we will know even as we are known. Above is better. Above is higher. And from higher places you see more clearly. Above is nearer to God. Above is eternal, eternal in the heavens. Below is fire and brimstone and the burning. Below we look at the things which are seen, temporal, but above we look at things which are not seen, eternal. But one main difference is that heaven is pure. Heaven is without sin. And that's what makes it better. The earth is the place where you have to mortify the deeds of the body. The earth is the place where sin is. The earth is marked by impurity. Heaven is perfect. Heaven is free from sin's devastation. Sin cripples us here below. But above, they are not crippled by it. The earth, like man, is a fallen world. But heaven hasn't been touched by sin. Sin never enters into it. It's the dwelling place of God, and like himself, it is holy and without any impurity. We have to arise and depart from this earth and mortify the deeds of the body. And one day we have to leave it behind, to leave sin altogether, because this world is polluted. But heaven is pure. But the most important thing of all for Christians about heaven, and which the apostle refers to in the text, is that it is the place where Jesus is. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. That's the thing about it, you see. The most important thing of all, it's where the Lord Jesus is. Where our Savior is. Where the one who loved us and who gave himself for us. Who bought us with his blood. Who called us by his grace, by his Spirit in the gospel. And who we believe in and trust. It's the place where he is now present. On earth, whom having not seen, we love. Though we don't see him now, yet we believe in him, and we do so with rejoicing. But then, we shall see him in his glory, and the King in all his beauty above. They shall see his face, is the hope of the saints. Not just going to heaven, but going to him. Who is heaven, the glory of heaven, they shall see his face. Our conversation, Paul says, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. And it's because of this difference between heaven and earth, especially the fact that the Lord Jesus is there, it's because of this difference that we have to seek those things which are above and set our affection on things above. The word seek here means to desire, to go after, to strive after the above, the things of above. This is a call to Christians. Now, of course, sinners are to prepare for heaven and be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ and to get ready for heaven. And saints are to expect heaven and have the hope of heaven and the assurance that they're going to heaven. But more than that, saints are to be heavenly minded. This is an everyday thing. This is an hour by hour thing. Heavenly mindedness. Seek the things above. Set your affection on things above. Heavenly mindedness, of course, only relates to the mind and heart. The affections. The desires. Set your affection on things above. Now, of course, literally we can't go above. Literally we can't go to heaven as flesh and blood. But our soul can soar into the heavenlies. We can rise up with wings as eagles and mount into the heavenlies. We can ascend into the hill of the Lord, as we read this morning in that psalm. And we can think, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. I seek thee, Lord. I seek the things above. Remember the Lord Jesus put it this way. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Live as if you know you're going there. And one day soon you'll be leaving this place to ascend, to go there. So be laying up in store. Live on the earth as ones who are going to inhabit the heavenly plane. So you have to set your affection on things above. You have to look above. You have to lift up your eyes onto the hills. From whence cometh your help? From the Lord. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, some people say that you can be too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. That's not true. In fact, some people are of no earthly good whatsoever because they're not heavenly minded. It's the other way around. The more heavenly minded they are, the more useful you will be below. Without heavenly mindedness, we will never persevere the way we ought. We will sin and fall and fail. We will get down and depressed and lose our joy. We will never accept the spoiling of our goods and the losses of all our materials with joyfulness. We'll never have that mindset. We'll be utterly cast down when everything below goes. We'll never be able to discipline ourselves to godliness if we lose sight of heaven and of Christ who is in heaven. And we'll never be able to do what Paul goes on to call us to do here. Mortify the deeds of the body and your flesh on the earth. You'll never be able to do that until you first begin to set your mind on things above. This is why Paul begins here before he goes to speak about mortification. We have to be like Moses to ascend into Mount Pisgah, don't we? Get a glimpse to see. The Savior was heavenly minded. Do you remember whenever they were coming to make him king? Oh, we'll make Jesus king. They were going to do what the devil promised him. I'll give you the kingdoms below. You can be our king, Jesus. We'll get the nations. We'll overcome Rome. We'll get all that there is below. What did Jesus do? Whenever he perceived that they were going to come and take him by force, what did he do? He departed into a mountain himself alone. He went up into the mountain. He went up into the heights. Why did he do that? Why did the Lord go up into mountains? To set his mind on things above. To get alone with his Father. To look into the heavenly Jerusalem with new freshness. The rest of us, we would let the people come and take us. Get a big position. Get a big kingship. Get a big job and big influence. Oh, I'll grab that. All that ambition. Make it as big as you can. And many are destroyed. Because we have to set our affections above. Time is gone, we'll have to leave it there, congregation. May the Lord bless the word and make it of some usefulness to you in your Christian life.